us to commence this evening with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897. Thank you.
us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Saviour. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bells and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servants' sake the tribes of thine inheritance, the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Their adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord our God, do hear us, Lord, now. Do grant to us that favour to gain thine ear as we come begging for help in this another time of need. Oh, we do count it, Lord, a privilege to come and gather around thy word with thy people here. And Lord, we do want more than that, and they want more than that. Oh, Lord, we would all acknowledge the privilege of being in thy house. We don't want it to be just known and felt as a natural privilege and favour, Lord. We want more. We want to see thy glory, Lord, so as we have seen thee in the sanctuary. And oh, we do pray that we might have our hearts tuned and so drawn by thee that we may worship thee. Our very souls may be set on fire to worship thee, our God, our triune God. O Lord, do give us a true spirit of worship. Lord, thou knowest how we've already had to come with confessions. Lord, we're sinners still. We cannot keep ourselves, thou knowest, Lord, and we would not even make mention of that to make any excuse. Lord, thou knowest our base sins, and even, Lord, too, as we have to admit solemnly our backslidings, our folly, Lord, that we feel so often and almost every day we feel it, Lord. And to have a time, a day, a season, Lord, where we're truly kept and blessed, where we could know that blessed liberty and peace that we hope we have known. Do renew it, Lord. Do grant it to us again. We pray, we beg for it. And, oh, Lord, that we might come into the blessedness of where the dear prophet was, though those things that it revealed to him were very, so very, very solemn. And yet he could come to that point to say, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we beg that there may be precious souls here so affected tonight, blessed and favoured, that they may be able, that we may be able together to mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Oh, we would bear each one before thee and pray for each one. Do see thy blessing to each soul gathered, if it could please thee. Lord, we are mindful to pray for those who are not able to be with us, and especially as a dear brother has made known, if one come home sick from work, oh, do go to our friend Philip and give him something to know of thy favour in his very heart and soul tonight. And do restore him, Lord. And Lord, as we think of any that may be away, Lord, we pray, watch over them, keep them, and oh Lord, bring them safely back in whatever travels they're in and whatever reason they are away, whether it's rest and change or in work involved, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest each of the friends we would remember and pray for. And Lord, as we are aware too that our friends at Southall are gathering for prayer meeting tonight, I pray, Lord, thou wilt be with them there and favour them. And yea, Lord, where'er thy people are gathered, thou dost know perfectly their need. And, oh Lord, may there be those favours of thy blessed presence felt, the gathering of the people truly be unto thee, where'er thy people meet. May they truly, as we sing, behold thy mercy seen, where'er they seek thee, to prove thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Lord, thou knowest how we've been singing, relating to thy dear people who know affliction and who know tribulation, and oh Lord, the need they have of calling upon thee in their times of trouble and need. And the Lord, as oh, we do pray it may be so tonight, as we have sung in the third verse. But Lord, thou knowest one feels so insufficient. But oh, may the gospel table be spread. May there be those royal dainties for dear precious souls to partake of by precious faith. Oh Lord, do bless souls in that way of thy provision of feeding them, favouring them, doing them good. Oh, do good as their friend has prayed in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build there the walls of Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the family and church of God. Oh, we look for that increase, Lord. Oh, bless souls that they may be able to show forth thy praise. There may be a telling of thy love. There may be a testifying of thy wonderful grace. And Lord, oh, tonight truly may it be so has been prayed. Oh, that there might be those blessed things of redeeming love known, the love of Christ to sinners. Oh, Lord, oh, that there was come and shed abroad thy love in our poor cold hearts. Oh Lord, bless souls in all these ways as they feel the need, as being sinners and guilty before thee. Oh, to know the favour of thy forgiving love, to know and feel it, Lord, and have the blessedness of that peace that flows in with the application of the precious blood of Christ. Oh Lord, we plead thy blood, the blood that did for sin atone. Help our friends in all their pathways, Lord. Thou knowest how thy people go on in tribulations vile. But oh, there is a river through the road, makes glad the city of our God. We think of how it's so put in the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble, refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Oh, to be favoured to find and know that holy river of thy love flows for us and flows to us, and Oh, to feel it in our very hearts and souls. We beg thee, Lord, so give us each to be in earnest for these favours, Lord. May we not be left to neglect thy great salvation. Oh, as we are getting older and going on and the grasshopper becomes a burden, thou knowest, Lord, how much more, and the warnings we receive, how much more we should give diligence to make our calling and election sure. And, oh, the warnings we received of late with thy taking to thyself, two of thy dear servants, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how suddenly with our friend, the dear pastor of Staplehurst, and our dear friend, thy servant from the among the friends at Braybourne, thou knowest, Lord, they landed home. Oh, they fought a good fight, they kept the faith. But Lord, oh, we, as our dear friend and brother, thy servant mentioned, that great gathering of many for the funeral of our friend, the dear pastor of Staplehurst, the Lord has need of him. Oh, we need grace to bow at such times to thy sovereign will. We pray for that grace, especially for loved ones and sovereign peoples, Lord. And Lord, that we may know that precious grace of submission. Give it as we need it, Lord. We are a witness that thou dost give it as it's needed. We pray, may we ever be so blessed to know no will but thine, to humbly acknowledge and desire and pray that, O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, that thy will be done. O Lord, we beg, give that grace. We so need grace. We have nothing of our own, but our treasure is immense in Christ. Oh, having nothing, yet possessing all things, may this truly be known by many, yea, each of thy people to know it in the blessed favour of it. Oh, we must be made nothing. Oh, nothing less than the least. But Lord, thou wilt be all in all then. Oh, we pray we may be in such a place tonight. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We pray for the unity of the Spirit. We might be endeavouring for it by thy grace, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, to know that blessed union, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. We beg for this, Lord. We beg it for each of our friends. We beg it for younger friends too, that may be feeling after thee. Oh, that thou wouldst so give them that favour, Lord, they long for. Are there those here, we believe there are, who are longing for that favour of thy blessing, of giving them the pardon of their sins? Oh, what a favour it is to be exercised, to seek for the pardon of our sins. We look back when we were there, and we need it again and again. But Lord, oh, in those early days, how blessed, how wonderful is the operation and work of the Holy Spirit in such souls thou hast set thy love upon, that thou givest them a longing desire to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, when we're well taught sins in merit, then we gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. May thus those that are so exercised be given that exercise to flee to thee to hide them. Oh, to find that blessed place in the cleft of the rock, in thy wounded side. Oh, to hear thy voice like it's so said in the way it is in the Song of Solomon, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. And Lord, than this, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Oh, may it be anyone or another who has heard thy voice. Oh, may it be that thou should hear their voice. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we beg to hear from thee, to hear thy voice, to see thy face by faith. But oh, then that we might so be set on fire to praise thee with thy very hearts and souls expanded with holy heavenly love. And thus, Lord, to make mention, to speak, to testify, to sing, to sing thy high praises, to speak in that way of wonderful thankfulness and gratitude for what thou hast done, to honour thee with praise, Lord. Oh, welling up inwardly from us, but outwardly too, thy people will be still praising thee, Selah. Oh, to know it. Oh, that the dear friends here might know it. More and more it sways me. Oh, there is thy people here, Lord, thou art teaching. Lead them on, bless them, set them at liberty. Oh, give them that favour, full, free pardon. Oh, to know that wonderful liberty. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Bless souls and get to thyself that honour and glory due unto thee, Lord. This is our heart's desire. So, Lord, come near. Thou knowest we are burdened too regarding our country. And we are exercising burden for many souls throughout the earth. Thou knowest, oh, we do not know them by name, but we hear. And even today we've now heard, Lord, that it has been agreed that our soldiers shall go and be involved in the Ukraine. Thou knowest, Lord, all these things that are taking place, the terrible things. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. There are many that are very fearful of what is happening and what is coming. But we beg, especially for all thy people, that the grace of God, the real, true favour of God, the grace of faith in exercise, might save us, Lord, from being left a slavish, terrible fear. Oh, may our hearts not fail for fear of looking after the things that are coming on the earth. May we be able to live upon thee and to trust thee and to believe that thou art our glorious leader leading us on. We to follow thy faith. We follow at thy call and the joy is prepared for suffering saints. We'll make amends for all. Fear not them that kill the body. And after that there is no more they can do. But fear him who after he is killed hath power to cast in hell. Oh, to fear thee, Lord. So give us filial fear. Help us, Lord, now to further sing thy praises. Oh, do bless and help me, dear friend. We felt that first hymn so sweetly confirming. Oh, Lord, help us, be with us each, that we may give thee all the glory. I beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by thy word, that mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. 1056.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter that we read, the 63rd chapter in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and to the 7th verse. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. I just say, friends, if you look at the last verse here, or the last two verses here in this chapter, I think really we could say that what Isaiah was doing, he was doing what is desired and expressed in the last verse of what we've just been singing. Looking and looking again, the dear prophet was pleading. You see, he is concerned to be faithful as a prophet regarding the righteous and the wicked, or we perhaps should put it the reverse way around, the wicked and the righteous. The dear prophet in this deep and profound chapter is given to right under the influence of the Holy Spirit, of course, relating to what he has a view of the holy mind and will of God. What God will so do, and how he will display and pour his anger upon the wicked, and how even in that means and way, by the dear Holy Son of God coming the second time to judge the world in righteousness. The first six verses of this chapter, they are very deep and profound. There's been many that have written commentaries on them. But oh, we tremble to even begin to speak of things there named. But I believe it is very clear that the prophet had such a view of the dear Son of God being that highest one in the purposes of God, in God's solemn purpose of taking vengeance on the wicked. But also, there is deeply found within these verses the wonderful things of the Son of God. As he shall come in Isaiah's day, they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, that one who would so come for the redemption of the Church of God. And there is that deeply profound where he said his own arm brought salvation. None but Jesus, the Son of God, he alone came and suffered the just for the unjust to bring his people to God. And whilst it is said that I will stain all my raiment, it was given to the prophet to so deeply see these things in that way. You know, as the Son of God treads in his anger, trembles in his fury, it's that way, that statement, that shall apply. But oh, in the wonderful things of redemption, for the salvation of the church, the Son of God is to come in Isaiah's day. This is how he viewed it and prophesied it, to suffer, bleed and die in God's people's room, place and stead. And as this was such a solemn revelation to him that he must make prophecy of, You know, it comes to this point, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And what I believe he was concentrating on, led to acknowledge, was how God had been in former days so good to his people, so good to his national people, but in the deepest, most wonderful way, so good to his true Israel, spiritual Israel. Oh, he had appeared for them, he had provided for them, he had made a way for them. Think of it in the way the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and all what that sets forth, that we shall perhaps be led into a little spiritually to consider in our lives and experiences how the Lord has been so good to the house of Israel. At this time, the dear prophet, though he has had to touch upon and speak on some very tremendous, tremendously solemn things that are revealed to him, it comes now to this. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, so that for God's people, God's true Israel, God's dear, beloved people who God loves so well, that he would send his dear son, and he has sent his dear son, to redeem them from hell. The prophet has such a blessed view of this wonderful loving, these wonderful loving kindnesses of the Lord. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. Now, as it was in the day of the prophet, and for the profound purpose of the word of God being given, the dear prophet was led in these deep, profound things. These deep, profound things were for the good of the whole church of God to be revealed to them, especially the wonders of redeeming love. Your deacon prayed that we might be led into the wonders of redeeming love tonight. And we have it here in the text. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on us, according to his mercy, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses, and within that is redemption. The multitude of his loving kindnesses. One of the hymn writers says, in his highest work, redemption, see his glory in a blaze, claiming our supreme attention to his wondrous works and ways. And of course, we've read further on, our Redeemer. Oh, doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. The way of redemption was by the shedding of the holy blood of Christ. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. I believe the highest of God's loving kindnesses to be mentioned is that God the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the loving kindnesses of the Lord God Jehovah, and indeed God the Father, as he gave his only begotten Son, knowing that he would pour his holy penal wrath upon him to punish him in his people's room, place and stead. Your hope of salvation and mine depends, friends, if it is rightly grounded, it depends upon the finished work of Christ, and also depends upon what the Lord is involved in now, as he pleads our cause in heaven our great high priest above. I will mention. We could go on in some measure, limited measure, as one is feelingly poor, but you know, we could go on in some measure to pursue things relating to that which was known in these Old Testament days. But tonight my heart is full, I trust, with a desire and exercise. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Surely the prophet was well and wonderfully exercised, and he had got much to mention. But oh, too, in the holy will of God, it is said in God's sovereign purposes that God's people shall show forth the praises of the Lord and show forth his praise in their lives. One more point that comes to my mind, it just flowed in when I was saying what I've just said. You know, if you go to Ephesians 2, there the dear apostle is led to acknowledge that the people who were strangers and foreigners, you know, more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, listen, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple unto the Lord. Oh, are we built in it? Are we part of it? Is God grounding us in such a way? Are we built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone? This is how it is good and important, and I believe of the Spirit giving the word today, that we should consider this personally, friends, tonight. I will mention. Are you in the exercise of it? Am I? Are you in the exercise? I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Have you got those wonderful loving kindnesses of the Lord given you to know and experience? Have you got them to mention? It was a solemn day the prophet was living in. And in all what he has brought, it was given to write and record, as we have it in the context of the chapter. Very solemn, deep, profound things. But here is this verse. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Now your life and pathway and mine. Are there those sad, solemn things in your life and pathway, and those things that are a great burden and trial to you? Because you're a sinner. Because you cannot keep yourself. Because you've got a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if you really consider it in a rational way, even with a natural mind, you would think, well, God will have nothing to do with me because I'm such a bad man. But you see, God set his love upon a number which no man can number. And that number, they are sinners. God chose his people from the ruins of the fall. God knows that we are sinners, and he knows we need saving, and he's made that way, he's provided the means. He set his love upon his people, and his love is from everlasting to everlasting. Now what is important for us to know, and if we are given to be able to mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, it will be based upon this, what we have already been taught and been made by God's grace to experience. The solemn teaching of the Spirit that's made us know our ruin, our state of ruin and sin and guilt that we're in, and that we are unworthy of the least of God's notice, And we're in danger of being punished forever in hell for our sins. God's loving kindness is in divinely enlightening dead sinners, quickening dead sinners and giving them that seldom knowledge of the holy, which is understanding, enlightening them, making them to know, bringing them to that we sometimes acknowledge in the couplet. It teaches us our danger and our refuge too. Oh, have you got that to acknowledge? That God has not left you to go on in unconcern. He's not left you to go on in that state of unregeneracy, that state of the death of nature. But has he quickened you? You may ask, you may pray, you want it clear, you want it confirmed. Am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer. I believe there are some of you know you're quickened. You know you're not where you once were. You know you're not in that state you were born in. And that state you may have grown up in and lived some years in, God has, he has dealt with you. What loving kindness. The loving kindness is of the Lord in quickening dead sinners into life. The loving kindness is of the Lord in making a sinner know what a wretched sinner they are. You say, it doesn't seem like that at the time. No. But the reality of it is, you know, it's so important to be made to be a sinner. Because it's sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. You know, if you are very heavily burdened by your sins, that's a blessing. That's the loving kindnesses of the Lord. But you know you can't be, you're not comfortable in that, of course not. But oh, to be able to see it and to be thankful for it, and yet you're in a place where you need to be begging. And what a favour to be made a beggar. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the praises of the Lord. Oh, can you say, a beggar poor, at mercy's door, I such a wretch as I. Yes, but that's a good place to be in, you know. He hears the beggar's knock. He hears the beggar's cry. He hears that groan. He does. And he has wonderful supplies for these beggars. The gospel table spread, richly furnished too, with wine and milk and living bread, and dainties not a few. I'll mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. How good this is if we are blessed to be able to. Oh, that we are made by God's grace to be so brought to need the Saviour. We're brought to know Christ as so precious to us now. Whereas he was a root out of a dry ground when we were in unregeneracy, he had no form nor comeliness. There was no beauty in him that that we should desire him. Oh, if you've got this wonderful favour to mention tonight, that God in teaching you has made Christ so precious. Oh, is that so? Is that what you can mention? I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. This word mention, we know in the prophet's day it was a word which meant so much. I will mention. He had to write it and record it. It was God's will to be on the sacred page forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. There's another line on that. Perhaps we might be led to touch on later. But, I will mention, because by the grace of God I can. By the grace of God, God's given me this favour. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, because the favours of God's sovereign grace has brought me in. Grace has put me in a number, the Father's family I will mention, the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Oh, is it so with you? Is it with me? Is it so? But let me stop here. The prophet was very willing, very wonderfully exercised. I will mention, is there one here or another? You have the loving kindnesses of the Lord to mention, but you've not yet been made willing to mention. What a point that is, friends. I'm not wanting to wrongly bring anything to hurt anyone, but you haven't mentioned, perhaps. God knows. God knows if he so blessed you and you haven't mentioned the loving kindness of the Lord. He knows about it. Of course he knows, and you know he knows. Oh, the dear prophet must mention. We know it was for a tremendous purpose. He must mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And we know the context of it in some measure, with the light God gives and understanding he gives of this context of what the prophet was in. But you see, it does relate to God's people today. It does. It does. Certainly it does. And you may be an older one or a young soul. You know, I mean, I was 18 when I was begun in by God, and I was set at Gospel Liberty just three and a half, four years on from that. The Lord's a sovereign in his dealings with his people, but you know, you mark this, friends. God knows every detail of his loving kindnesses that he's been made. He's been in his will, in his purpose, so given to make known, for his people to experience his loving kindness. You know, we sing of it, his loving kindness, oh how great, his loving kindness, oh how free. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. Oh, the favours that the Lord has indeed given one and another of his people to know. And he knows everything he's done. He knows the Lord, the Son of God, knows for whom he stood. They were on his breast when he came to the earth. Their names on his breast. Oh, here we came here to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. How he went to Calvary, when he was in the judgment hall before the governor, you know. Oh, think of it. He got his dear people's, and we have to say their unworthy names. One of the hymn writers says that ultimately the prospect in the Lord will own my worthless name before the Father's face and in the New Jerusalem. Appoint my soul a place, that's our hope. But you know, when he was there before the governor, and the fact was he got the names of every one of his people upon his breast. He must go through. He must go to Calvary. He must suffer under death, even the death of the cross. How willing was Jesus to die, that we poor sinners might live. The life they could not take away, how willing was Jesus to give. But you see, in leading up to this, in your experience, the Lord's taught you the various important, needful things, so that you have been made to be a learner, and you've proved the Lord's blessing. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Lord led you on. Oh, can you say, He led me on with placid pace to Jesus as my hiding place. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. According to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. I believe, friends, the way of the Spirit tonight to lead one is to go as we may be led into this, the great goodness to the house of Israel. The house of Israel, God's dear people, God's great goodness to them in giving his dear son, and even in God he punished for his Israel, his own dear son, and his dear people, his Israel, are saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Oh, can you, by faith, are you led and led to enter into it, to know and feel the blessed favour of believing it was for me that he came and suffered, bled and died, the great goodness to the house of it. There's no greater goodness than this, friends. There's no greater goodness than this great goodness to the house of Israel. It's the great goodness of God, our sovereign God, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great goodness to the house of Israel. And there's some of you here, and I would humbly hope, if it be God's will, all should be brought into it. The Lord knows. But there's some of you here, I'm persuaded, you know something of this great goodness to the house of Israel, and you are able to say it. Not just was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree, but there are some of you, you know he did. He's given you that favour, faith to lay hold of it. Oh, the Lord knows what he's done. I will mention. Will you? Will his people mention? They will when they're constrained by his love. When the power, that irresistible power of the drawing of the love of God draws you. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, causing them to hear his call before his feet to fall. And what more? To tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. You know no other way. You want no other way. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. It's Jesus Christ, Jesus only. There's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Friends, will you mention? The prophet said, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. According to, you see, this is what it's based upon. According to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, bestowed on us. All that the Lord has bestowed on us, his free favour, his free unmerited favour to wretched sinners. Doesn't that make it so wonderful, so amazing? I think of the lines, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my power, my all. It truly does. You've known the love of Christ. Think of what it demands in love in return to him. It's not that you must do anything for yourself, salvation. Your Lord, your Saviour's done it all. He's done all things well. But oh, what he requires of us. We must be followers of the Lamb. Oh, we must live to his praise. This is God's sovereign purpose. He is preparing us to praise him in heaven forever at last. It must begin here, friends. It must. I hope I'm known a little. Having my heart, my poor heart tuned and set on fire with God's love to worship him, to praise him, to honour, adore him. Oh, yes, I can say that, though I'm a poor, wretched sinner still. But I can say the Lord has so blessed me. And oh, the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. You know, it's the favour by faith. You see, it's what we are given to see and know, to be witnesses of. The favour to see and know and believe that our dear Lord, as he suffered, bled and died, he brought in full, complete redemption for the church, redeemed by Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauty is called to trace. No angel can be more esteemed than sinners saved by grace. Yes, so sacred, isn't it? So amazing. Oh, so wondrous when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Puts everything else in the right perspective, you see. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Lord is sanctifying us. He's sanctifying us by his Spirit. He's making us to be so favoured to be given a place among them that are sanctified. Oh, what wondrous goodness it is, the wonders of redeeming love, where we are favoured to know that he shed his blood for our redemption. And the holy blood of Christ has blotted out all our sins, put them all away. We are forgiven, freely, fully forgiven. All God's people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made twixt man and God. Oh, the great goodness. The great goodness the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies. Hey, God, God Jehovah, the great God who out of Christ is consuming fire. But oh, the love of God, oh, the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit in making love divinely known, the great goodness toward the house of Israel. This Israel, holy Israel, family of God, children of God. Oh, the family on earth whose father fills the throne, the house of Israel. You hope you're in the house of Israel. I hope I am. By the grace of God, we hope, we trust we can testify of a good hope. We have that hope. We are among the house of Israel, not just saying I hope so, but having a good hope given us, sealed in our hearts, among the house of Israel, the family of God. But oh, how important. I believe the high importance of this is and should be considered, friends. You know what a loving child in any family will desire to do, please their father, maybe also please others in the family, especially mother, please father. Oh, in pleasing him, friends, can you say it? Our pleasure is placed. Oh, we can't please him from our own merits, But we can and we shall please him as we obey his voice and all his will esteem. You see, this is it. He's done so much for us. Oh, he's done so much. Never put any... We can't value. You know, people value things. We can't value what he's done for us. It's love so amazing, so divine, as I've already quoted. You know, oh, how great is love. To the loveless, sometimes I might have mentioned to you, this was something we sung in school, in assembly. Love to the loveless shown. I didn't know anything about it then, when we sung it in the assembly. Didn't understand it, didn't got any care to consider it. We used to sing it, love to the loveless shown. But oh, friends, we know it now, some of us. You know it. Oh, how you've been so loveless to God. Nothing in us to promote or generate love to God, not from ourselves, but his love that he's made us know and taste, that he's caused to flow into our very hearts and souls. Oh, but can you say, can you give testimony to, it has kindled love in me in return to him? You know, we each need to know something of what John knew when he said we love him because he first loved us. Have you got that witness in you? Have you got that blessed feeling, that blessed sacred favour to feel it, to know the wonderful love of God and to feel the heavenly heat affecting you? The way that it causes you to burn with love in return to him. We love him because he first loved us. Yes, you'll understand what John also says here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins, to put them all away, to blot them out, to send them or put them away into the land of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You might say, be saying in your heart, it's all very well for the minister to quote these things. I want to feel it. But there again, some of you, you may be saying, well, you know, we've heard these things before, but have you felt it? Have you felt the power of the love of God? Now God knows how he's affected you, what he's done in you. He knows. Can't hide anything from God, not on the solemn side of our sins, nor on the blessed side of what he's done. How you feel and how you know that what God has done in you and for you. You might want to hide it so you make excuse. But oh, Isaiah the prophet, and he said, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. And, you know, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. I believe, friends, as we dwell together in the churches, God's given us mutual love, union. If we know what it is to know the blessedness, you in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, this is how we should be speaking. Your dear Isaiah is so given of the Spirit to acknowledge, even in the face of what is in the context, to acknowledge this wonderful, great goodness to the house of Israel. Oh, how God's love is ever toward his people and all what he's done in so providing for his people to save them and to keep them and to provide for them and to so care for them in that way that they might be safe and secure and they might never be lost. We know there's all those wonderful examples the Lord himself used of the sheep and the good shepherd. And there he speaks of himself, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep and am known of mine. Think of those sheep. They couldn't much, not very able to defend themselves. Oh, but the shepherd cares for them. You may be not able to do much to help yourself or defend yourself, or you may have had much of the onslaught of Satan, but you think of how a holy, perfect care and keeping of your God and of the Good Shepherd, the Son of God. And also, of course, because of all what he's done in suffering himself in your room place instead, paying the price for your redemption by shedding his holy blood. Oh, how it is. It's this, friends. You are precious to God. You perhaps can't grasp that. But God's people are very precious to him. One wonderful sacred way it's acknowledged in the Word. Bought with a price. But what does it say, bought with a price? What follows? Therefore glorify God in your mortal bodies. Oh, these things. Oh, how we would desire to be in the favour of exercise like the prophet was. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. According to. Now I'm aware of this, friends, that God's a sovereign in his dealings, and it's his sovereign grace we stand for. God has, we hope, well grounded us in sovereign grace, through sovereign grace. And you know, we can never save ourselves. It's by grace are ye saved through faith. You know what grace is? It's how grace is to be acknowledged. The hymn writer says it even lays in heaven the topmost stone. Well deserves our praise and the praises of the Lord, which we haven't touched so much upon. And the praises of the Lord. The praises of the Lord. To so be favoured, to so join in gathering together, and to know and feel it, personally felt by individuals, felt in gathering God's people gathered together. I'll mention the praises of the Lord. His high praises must be sung. Oh, it must be to God, to grace, and to the dove that seals us heirs of heaven, to praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I think all of us well know that theme that was sung here. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing. Ransom mortals, join to swell the sacred song. Oh, we are called to praise him. Our life should be to his praise. Oh, we would love and praise him more. I would. I know there are those here who say, I would too. We are agreed. We're sinners. But by the grace of God, we're blessed. We're favoured and known. Taste redeeming love at times as God's holy will is for this, for our blessing. And oh, we are to live to his praise. To deny self. Self will keep telling us, keep quiet, don't mention. That's what old nature tries to say. Or it might, you know, old nature can get involved in Satan, so subtle how he works. He can work and encourage in our old nature us to think that we ought not to say anything because we don't want to presume. But you know the danger there is, we're so soon in unbelief. You see, there's a thin line, very narrow line between presumption and unbelief. If we are fearful about presumption in a gracious way, you know, for the most part, I believe the fear of presumption is a gracious fear. But don't think it's always. It can be a sinful fear if we're thinking, well, we'll just keep going as we are. Because you might argue, and the devil can make you argue with yourself, I don't want to be in the fear, I don't want to be in presumption. See, there's a thin line, friends. God knows about everything. He sees our thoughts afar off. He sees us through and through. Oh, friends, how important to seriously consider. The prophet was very, very seriously considering under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And how important that is. May the Lord help us each. So, oh, that the Lord would give us further meditation, lead you into the truth and teach you more than this poor preacher has been able to bring to you tonight. The Lord can open it up to you more than the Lord's helped me. I wouldn't deny his help. He's so good, his great goodness. But friends, oh, my heart's desire is that the Lord would lead you into it more and bless you more and more, favour you. And I tell you what is at the bottom of my heart in love for souls, that they would so be blessed more and more that they may worship their God. Oh, I believe I can say honestly, we have a concern for the glory of God, that God will have all the glory. Oh, that we might not have any of it, but he might have it all. But oh, we bless him for the favours he does give in signs following. May there be more, because these favours will be is based upon what God has done, and he shall have all the glory. Oh, we must not glory in his presence. No flesh shall glory in his presence. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sin. 760.
dear Lord, do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love anything thou hast seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word, Lord, bless thy people. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.